I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Prairie Sportsman Studios. Presented by OnX.
Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
Heck yeah.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on this station right here by downloading the podcast or listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. We're not in our studio, as you can see here. We are in Branson, Missouri for the annual GLOW Conference. It moves around each year. Last year was in Michigan. This year it's in Missouri. Next year it'll be in Bemidji, Minnesota. So we're going to be talking about some of the opportunities that we've had down here. And we've got some great guests talking about stuff down here and, of course, what's going on back in Minnesota as well. That's Dan Amundson right over there. Dan, how you doing?
Doing well. You know, happy to be at a GLOW, but what we keep forgetting about is it's duck opener weekend. Yeah, let's go.
That's right. Yeah, we're actually going to be up in the Fergus Falls area for duck opener next week, and I'm pretty excited about it. I know things are a little dry, so we're kind of curious to see what the water levels are going to be like, but even if there's a little bit of water, that's all those ducks need.
Those teal, they need a couple inches. They're like a jet boat.
Yeah, I think they like it when it's shallower.
I do
anyway.
Too. Easier to feed. You know, that the pond we're on has a lot of shrimp, so it's a lot easier for them to get that shrimp.
Well, we're excited to be up there. Then we're going to do some filming with Randon Olson from Lockjaw Guide Service. We're going to chase some muskies around up there. We filmed that Prairie Sportsman episode a couple of years ago, the Maplewood Muskie episode that you can see on YouTube right now up in Otter Tail County. So we're excited to get up there when we get home. We're driving literally from Branson, Missouri to Otter Tail County when we get home at the end of the week. It's going to be about a 14-hour drive for us probably to go, say, out there, maybe 15. So it's going to be getting in real late and then getting up real early to shoot some ducks.
Got to do what you got to do.
And it's a duck opener.
Love the life.
Yeah. And, man, I think we've been home one day in the last month.
Yep. That's okay.
It's been a good time. We got to fish legendary Table Rock Lake down here around Branson. Of course, a lot of people fish Tanny Como. Some guys went out to Bull Shoals. It was really kind of an eye-opening experience for us because I was at Silver Dollar City when I was about this big, so I don't remember it. I didn't remember what this area looked like. You hear about Branson, and when I say the word Branson, what pops into your brain? Is it, you know, some sort of country music show? Is it, you know, a destination for older generations to come have a vacation? We'll wipe that out. Those things are all great. Those things are here. But what we found out is that the outdoor opportunities, the scenery, there's a whole different side of Branson that I didn't know about before I got here. And we're going to talk about that throughout the show here and probably throughout the next couple of weeks and
absolutely
on this show. All right, we've got Joe Henry's going to join us to talk about his trip down here and also what's going on up at Lake of the Woods right now. We have also got Trent Marsh from Spy Point to talk about the Flex camera and what he's seeing now that people have got deer. They're actually out there hunting deer since the bow opener took place. People are starting to bow hunt back home. We haven't had a chance to climb up in a tree yet, but we've been sitting down here. It's so funny. Trent was given a speech here at the GLOW conference, and he's talking about the new Flex camera from Spy Point, and my phone is going crazy with videos and pictures coming from my Spy Point camera back home. So I'm excited to get back home and climb into a tree, Dan.
Should be good.
I know you are too.
Yeah, kind of.
Dan just wants to keep fishing, I think.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
Well, we've had the chance to fish in some pretty cool places, and we caught our first spotted bass down here.
We did. They're a lot of fun. They're not big fish, but they don't need to be big fish because it's, what's the old saying? It's not the size of the dog.
It's not the size of the fight.
Whatever
it is. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the fight in the dog.
It's like a spotted bass. They're tiny, but they fight just as hard as a smallmouth or better than any largemouth I've ever caught. We're drop-a-chotting with them with Pat Schlopper, and we're going to talk about that coming up in the show. And it's been a blast. A lot of people know my opinions on bass fishing. I enjoy doing it, but I like to make fun of it. I genuinely had a lot of fun when we did that.
We have to be so careful because we're doing so much in the bass world now, and we joke about it, right? Like, obviously, we grew up bass fishing. We enjoy it. It's a lot of action. They fight hard. They're fun to catch. We just fish for walleye so much now that we like to make fun of the bass guys a little bit. But I'll tell you what, we have met some incredible anglers in the bass world, and it was so much fun watching Pat break down Table Rock. He'd never fished it before either. He's like, like, gosh, guys, we talked to him on the phone. He's like, I don't know. I've never fished there. It's going to be hot. I'll do my best. And he caught a spotted bass in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He found him. He figured it out. He caught him. And then what we found is they kind of shut off. And they'd almost have to go find a new pot of active fish. And then, boom, you get into them. Then they'd slow down. But he figured out a pattern. And we're gonna talk to him and figure out how he caught those fish and how he broke down the lake coming up later in the show as well. Dan, who are our sponsors this week?
Yep, we got Haybell Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at haybellheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for this fall at the Rainy River or this winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Camp Grayling, catch the Grand Slam in Saskatchewan. Lake Trout, Pike, Arctic Grayling, and Walleye at Camp Grayling. On X, Nor You Stand with On X. Mid-Migration Outfitters, come hunt waterfall this fall at heated 10-man pits and comfortable blinds. Learn more at midmigrationoutfitters.com. And Prairie Sportsman, watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel or check your TV guide for rerun times.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Ottertail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Ottertail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Ottertail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to ottertaillakescountry.com.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on this station right here by downloading the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts or listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. We have the new president of the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers, Trent Marsh, with us. Trent, how you doing?
Good. Obviously not quite new president yet, but it's headed that general direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great conference so far down here.
Yeah, it's Branson. Branson is a beautiful location. Yeah. You know, obviously people hear Branson and they kind of, you know, they think of the touristy stuff that's mm-hmm. going on, but I mean, we're staying, the hotel that we're staying at, we're literally on the shores of Table Rock Lake, which one of the best fisheries in the world. You go 10 miles down the road and you've got Bull Shoals, another one of the absolute, I mean, growing up as a fan of bass fishing, like fishing Bull Shoals is a bucket list thing. And then, you know, you don't hear people talk about Tanny Como, but we had one of the guys at conference catch a 31-inch brown last night out of Tanny Como.
That's awesome.
And you're literally, you can spit to downtown Branson. It is crazy the amount, especially for anglers, the amount of outdoor adventure opportunities that there is here. And then proximity to Springfield and everything that Bass Pro's done for the outdoors and the entire campus that they've built up in Springfield, it's a great spot to be.
So we're filming like a vlog, like a YouTube video of this trip. We'll have some of the fishing, we'll have some of the Wonders of Wildlife Museum up in Springfield on there. But when we were driving into Branson, you know, we were kind of planning out how we were going to do this, mm-hmm. what we wanted to film, how we were going to lay it out, you know, just kind of storyboarding in our head how this video was going to go. And when we got in close to Branson, between Springfield and Branson, we were looking around like, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, you hear about Branson and you think, you know, Dolly Parton or these shows, right. which are great. And I have a lot of friends and family that come down here and do the shows mm-hmm. and visit Branson. And you think of it as that big tourist destination.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you get into the Ozark Mountains and it's like, wow, it's scenic, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you talk, I grew up hearing about Bull Shoals, same kind mm-hmm. of thing, and Table Rock.
Yep.
And I lived in Missouri as a kid, and so my dad came and fished all these lakes and would tell us about it for years growing up, and mm-hmm. I never had the chance to do it. And then
right.
Dan and I finally got a chance to fish Table Rock and caught our first spotted bass while we were down here. So the outdoor opportunities, I think, get overlooked when you hear about Branson.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, because I've told a couple people we're down here for the outdoor, you know, writers conference, and they're like, Branson? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Branson the best place for an outdoor thing? And I'm like, yeah. It actually is pretty cool.
It really is.
So it's been a good time. Tell us about Aglow right now, mm-hmm. where we're at and where we're headed.
So you know, we're in a really good spot, actually. You know, we're seeing some organizations in the industry maybe not really in as good a spot as Aglow. There's a lot of reasons for it. There's also a lot of reasons that we can continue to thrive. You know, it is a membership that is incredibly passionate, and I've had several people pull me aside while we've been here that have been members of other organizations and completely unprompted said, you know, if I have to pick one thing that is different about Aglo compared to some of these other organizations, it's that when I talk to people here about the organization, they are passionate about what they are doing. And it doesn't matter if it's your kid's club soccer team or a professional outdoor writers association. If you don't have passionate people that are there going to support the cause and support what we're all here for, you're going to struggle to succeed. So we've got some absolute, Ken Perot, our soon-to-be outgoing president, used the term stalwart last night in his president's award speech. We've got some stalwart corporate partners. We've got some media members that have been here, four decades of attending conferences. And that kind of passion is not easily found or easily replaced as we age some of our members out and look for new people to come on board. It's something that we've, over the last decade, been really deliberate about making sure that we're changing with the times. We were the first organization to change our bylaws to allow kind of the electronic media age to be able to be brought on board. That traditional hook and bullet writer that's, on the staff of a newspaper, on the staff of a magazine, even the full-timers are kind of part-timers anymore. Yeah. So we saw that early. We wanted to make sure that we were embracing and welcoming those people and embracing YouTube and podcasts and that whole electronic sphere that we all enjoy this content in. So, we continue to add new members. We're at pre-COVID number for conference. It's one of the biggest conferences we've had in years. And considering all the headwinds, even with COVID behind us, with travel costs what they are, gas prices what they are, to see the buy-in that we've seen from people coming back to conference, I could not be more excited. Yeah.
Well, I think you brought up a good point there, because when you look at a writer's group, and it's called a writer's group, mm-hmm. and as we know, media has changed, and we still have a lot of writers, we still have a lot of talented writers, and there's obviously still mm-hmm. a viable print and writing, of course, but with the digital age coming and the increase in podcasters and mm-hmm. bloggers and vloggers and everything that people are doing on the internet and the social media and mm-hmm. things like that, you have to include those people now, because that's become a viable way of communicating in the outdoor space in the digital world. So including those people and letting those people know that this group can help those people. Because yeah. so many people are out there, they have their own YouTube channel, like, man, how do I grow this channel? How do I get sponsors? How do I make money? How do I make money hunting and fishing? That's everybody's dream, right? Uh-huh. It used to be just guiding, and then and then maybe it was outdoor writing or a TV show or a radio show. Well, now people have the ability to create their own show and use it on YouTube or wherever. Those people can really benefit from a group like this.
Yeah, I mean, Aglo is a home for you. Yeah. It's been the focus of a lot of discussion as we talk about how do we evolve moving forward, because we have that kind of trigger word writers right in there, and we have people reach out that say, well, I'm not really a writer. Well, that's fine. Aglo is an organization that spans more than six decades.
Yeah.
And it's changed a lot. But we have podcasters, we have video producers, we have all shapes of outdoor communicators. The other kind of term that's in there that sometimes turn people off is the Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers.
Right.
We have 37 states and two Canadian provinces represented in our membership, the vast majority of which are not connected to a Great Lake. Mm-hmm. We have members everywhere. So, as people are looking at Aglo and thinking, is this somewhere that's a potential home for me? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Ken's our outgoing president. He's from Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
Noted Great Lakes stalwart state, Virginia. And that's where our outgoing president is from.
Yeah.
Even Ken has a huge, he's got a YouTube following with the Outdoor Rambler. So, yes, there's the traditional element to it. But if you really take a look at the other members of the organization and what kind of content we're generating, and there's going to be some really exciting developments with that coming as well that'll make it easier to see what our members are doing. It's all shapes and sizes, it's all areas, it's all platforms, and it's really all endeavors in the outdoors.
Can you get me a Spy Point Flex camera that I can record an hour podcast on? Because I'll tell you what, because I got one of those new Flex cameras, and I'm really impressed with the quality on that, the quality of the video and photos.
You just, as long as you can perfect your William Shatner impression and get an internal 15-second monologue to where you know when you need to take that pause to allow that instant, you know, that delay of instant to capture that 15 seconds and move on to the next clip.
I don't
could make it happen
for 20 minutes to get a full show.
And your guest would, of course, also have to be able to talk very fast to be able to sneak something in and then maybe take a breath and be able to come back to it again. But,
I knew it was going to be a good camera, and you, the way you talked about it before I got it, before it came out, and you were talking about it being, you know, this, you were just unbelievable. It was the most excited you've been about a product. It was going to be, you know, this great camera. And you hear a lot of sales pitches, and then you get it, and it is a great camera. But I think the most shocking thing about it to me is how good quality it is for such a low price.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe, you know, you brought it up in that when you were talking the other night here at the conference about how cameras used to be $1,000, and now you've got all that crammed into one camera for a really cheap, really affordable price. Right. I don't want to use the word cheap, really affordable.
It's been SpyPoint's mission really from the get-go. You know, we were the first trail camera company to have a cellular model under $300. We were the first ones to have a cellular trail camera under $200. We want cellular trail camera technology and mobile scouting technology to be available to all hunters that want to use it.
Yeah.
We don't want budget to be the primary limiting consideration when it comes to that. So, you know, getting the cost of the cameras down and making sure that, you know, the actual hardware component can be purchased affordably, that's the first part. But then you also have to follow it up. You look at a lot of the other companies out there, and you're mandated to buy a plan
to get
so they
photos.
Can afford, you know, yeah. It's not that there aren't cellular trail cameras cheaper than the SpyPoint, specifically the Flex.
Right.
But then you go look at, you know, it's all the devil's in the details, right? You can buy a SpyPoint Flex and never pay SpyPoint for a mobile plan ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
We offer a free plan. You're gonna get 100 photos a month. Is that all your photos? Probably not. But what's anybody else doing for you? We're still doing that free plan. And then even from there, you know, we want to keep it simple and affordable. So yes, every camera needs its own plan, but you're able to select what level of plan is right for that camera. And, you know, if you're an Insiders Club member, you're just over $100 and you're able to get all of literally every photo, the unlimited plan, for around $100 a year.
Yeah.
You pay that for your cell phone a month.
Mm-hmm. I have definitely spent $100 on things that are definitely not worth that.
You hate to go into the cost of a small coffee at McDonald's a day.
But
you too could have every photo from your trail camera.
And you know, an affordable plan, an affordable camera, and you know, you almost worry that someone's going to look at that price point and say, Jesus, what's wrong? Like, is that, am I getting quality for that kind of price? Because what's the retail on them?
I mean, you're able to find them, you know, $129 pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. When I think of that, I'm like, gosh, is this going to hold up? Uh-huh. Again, I've got one, and right now I've been gone for the last month. And before I left, I ran out there and I put it in a piece of the property that I never go into. And there's a grove there. It's real thick. I can just picture a big gnarly buck sitting in there,
right.
You know, living in there, and nobody ever sees them. And I hooked up, I bought a solar panel and set a battery out there and hooked it up to a solar, so I never have to go in there. And this whole time I've been getting, it's been a lot of bird pictures and videos, I'll be honest. But it's been working great. My full battery for this month, I haven't even touched it.
Yep.
It's been good, and it's been holding up, and there's definitely been some weather, because it's obviously been windy, because I've been getting videos sent to me all day today.
Season.
But then the other thing about it that's great is it doesn't matter what your cell phone carrier is.
Right. Yeah, with the Flex, we brought out that dual SIM technology. We're the first ones to bring out that auto connectivity. So it's not, you know, you don't have to...
Wait, what's the term you coined? You made something up for that, didn't you?
Let me get my marketing voice on. dual SIM multi-carrier auto connectivity.
That's very nice.
So
brilliant.
Yeah, it's you can put that camera in the field, and for years we've been educating people to choose the carrier model, because you had to select a Nationwide or a VZN carrier model to what was the best service available in the area. Now the Flex is coming with both those SIM cards installed. All you have to do is turn it on.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, there are other dual SIM cameras out there, but you have to declare the carrier, but then you switch the SIM cards, or you have to call customer service to turn on a SIM card. With SpyPoint, we're not doing that. We're giving you both SIM cards. They're both in the camera. They're both pre-activated, pre-installed, ready to go. And it's continually monitoring that performance over time. And if the threshold of performance drops below a certain point, then it's going to go check that other card and see if there's a more reliable network to be able to go to. So, you know, the goal with the SpyPoint Flex was really to get as close to an autonomous cellular trail camera as possible. Is it autonomous? No. There's still a baseline of hunter input that is required to keep it working at its best, but man, a lot of those traditional barriers and a lot of those are traditional issues that we've seen people have, we've eliminated with the Flex or severely reduced, and it's exciting to see people having success with them. We're starting, you know, now we're middle September, we're starting to see people, we're in that season now.
Yeah.
So we're seeing people have success, and that's just awesome. You start seeing kids get their first deer, or, mm-hmm. you know, guys kill that big buck they were after, and, you know, we've all been there. We can identify with that. It's probably the best part of the job is seeing people have that success.
Well, I remember you telling us about it before it came out, that you tried to listen to everybody's concerns or issues they've had with trail cameras mm-hmm. in the past, and try to solve all those problems. And so far, I think you have. Like, I don't know how many times I've set up a camera and then walked away from it, and it's either not sending me mm-hmm. the pictures, or it's not taking the pictures, yep. or, you know, I did something wrong, or the camera's a little goofy, or whatever the case may be. But this one, I haven't had any problems with. I turned it on. You can test it. You can put a button for formatting it right on there.
Yep.
It's pretty slick, and it's definitely been the easiest trail camera
that I've used
with the best quality. And I'm a video guy, right? So
right.
I care about the quality of those videos, because
right.
you can get some crazy things on those trail cameras, yep. wildlife being wild. And
100%.
If you don't have, you know, it's almost like the old Bigfoot picture. It's like a blurry Bigfoot, you know, in a lot of those cameras. And it could be the coolest thing you've ever seen, but to be able to have a camera that can put out some HD, great quality video, yep. and you can capture some amazing things, man, especially to me, that's exactly what I'm looking for in a trail camera. Can people buy those? Do they have to go retail? Can they order them from the SpyPoint website?
Yeah, I mean, one of the great things about coming to SpyPoint, I didn't have to wait for them to find distribution. You can find SpyPoint in pretty much every major retailer. Obviously, you can purchase from us, but so many places have rewards, or, you know, you got their credit card, or whatever the case may be. Favorite retailer. They have the Flex, and
sure.
they probably have a smoking deal on it. Go ahead and pick that up and get out there.
All right, Trent. Well, I know there's the auction is going on. We need to get back in there. I'll let you go. So you're just the you haven't been voted in as president yet, right? Did I?
Yeah.
I jumped the gun a little, didn't I?
A little.
All right.
But, it looks that way. I've taken the temperature of the room. It doesn't seem like a coup is planned to overthrow the slate of officers that's been presented, but. It looks that way. So.
All right, well, good luck.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate it.
Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
All right, we're at the annual Aglow Conference once again. We're down here in Branson, Missouri on Sporting Journal Radio. Joe Henry's going to join us now from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how you doing?
Tell you what, we're at the Aglow Conference in Branson, Missouri. I'm doing just fine, Brett.
Yeah, it's been a fun week down here, of course. We did a little bit of fishing down here. It's not quite Lake of the Woods fishing, but we've had a good time and got to see the area. I didn't expect the area to be so, I didn't realize it was in the Ozarks, like in the Ozark Mountains.
Yeah, it's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you go, people love the area that they grew up in. People love the area they live in. Mm-hmm. And you can see why people love this area. And, you know, one thing I'll say is, you know, I had a chance to get out trout fishing for a morning. And they stocked the heck out of this Lake Tanikomo. They stocked the heck out of it. And there's a lot of trout. They're small. I mean, most of them are. So there's some big ones in there. But, you know, most of them are that pound and a half variety. But I'll tell you, it's still fun. It's still fun to try something new. And I'll tell you what, the guides we fish with were top notch. I mean, just really... You know, you just go to show fishing guides no matter where you go.
I know you haven't had a chance to do it yet, but if you can get up to the Wonders of Wildlife Museum or down here, the Dogwood Canyon and Nature Park, just beautiful areas. We got to tour both of them. That Wonders of Wildlife Museum is unreal.
Really?
The amount of fish, the aquarium, and just the history going back from, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and the impact that he had, and Lewis and Clark, to being able to touch a stingray. You know, just so many things, so many close-up opportunities with wildlife there that are possible, and fish. It's a really neat place.
Yeah, it is cool. You know, we've had people, you know, here, Branson, the trout fishing, bass fishing, going on hikes, going to aquariums. I mean, it's just a neat area. Well, you know, so GLOW, Association of Great Lakes Outdoor Writers, these conferences are always held in really outdoor type destinations. And mm-hmm. we've had it at Lake of the Woods before, obviously. Next year goes to Bemidji, Minnesota. So, you know, Lake of the Woods, we'll have some outdoor writers come up both before the Bemidji trip and after the Bemidji trip. And, you know, it's really, this conference is really all about getting, you know, outdoor media, outdoor companies, and destinations together in the same format. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, when that happens, good things happen.
Yeah, it's a perfect combination of everything. Like, if you're an outdoor creator, this just puts you in touch with story ideas and partners that have gear or, you know, sponsorship type opportunities. It's kind of a perfect combination. And if it's a little loud, we're indoors, but we have a waterfall behind us.
Yeah, and birds.
And birds, yeah. So that's what you're hearing behind us right now. We're getting ready for that. We have the auction tonight, right?
Yeah. But you know what? So one of the, you know, we have a silent auction to benefit a GLOW, and a lot of the outdoor companies will donate product to really benefit the organization. And, you know, I'm here on behalf of Lake of the Woods. I'm also an outdoor communicator, so I'm putting out media and things like that. And, you know, there's an awards banquet, there's education, there's seminar, there's networking, there's, you know, just a lot of good things that happen at something like this. And that's why we do them, right? And mm-hmm. it's once a year. Mm-hmm. And but I'll tell you, meeting outdoor communicators from around the nation, pretty special, isn't it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, and you, obviously, some of these people have been doing this for so long, it's a chance for them to see old friends that they get to see year after year at a place like this, and meet new ones. This is our second year that Dan and I have been coming here, and we've met some new people, got to see some people that we met here last year. And in just a short time that we've been doing this from last, you know, we've been a part of a GLOW now for a couple of years. This is our second conference. We've only been with the organization a couple of years, but it's really helped us as outdoor communicators get to see some new things, try some new things, meet new people, get new sponsors for the show. So it's really been great. So we're telling people, if you're an outdoor communicator, content creator, consider joining a GLOW because it could help you like it's helped us.
Well, you know, people come up all the time and say, man, Joe, we've been up to Lake of the Woods before for NDN conference. We've had side trips with you, yeah. And Lake of the Woods is special. You know, they're talking about the walleyes they catch, the sturgeon they catch, the grouse hunting. I mean, I can go on and on and on, and you know, that's what it's all about. You know, yeah. and that's called earned media. You know, when somebody comes to your destination, they have a good experience, and they're writing about it in different parts of the United States. That's part of what we do, is educate and promote our destinations. That's part of having a tourism bureau. Let's face it, then GLOW is a great organization to get that message across.
It's been fun here because Table Rock is a lake I've heard about all my life. I lived in Missouri as a kid when I was aged 1 to 4, so I didn't really experience Missouri when I was a kid. But my dad fished Bull Shoals and Table Rock and Lake of the Ozarks, some of these lakes down here. So for us to finally get to fish Table Rock and fish for spotted bass, a fish that we'd never fished before, Dan and I both caught our first spotted bass. It was kind of neat. It was fun to do it. And it was using drop shots, which I don't have a lot of experience doing. But man, I don't know how many jokes we made about wanting to, I wonder if there's walleyes in here.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'll tell you, one of the guys that's with it, Josh Lance, yeah. He was a drop shot for bass, and he caught a couple walleyes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no,
yep,
kidding.
He did. And the dean, or the, I guess they call the Missouri Conservation Office, but we had a guest speaker recently, and he said that the walleye population in Table Rock is actually quite strong. So it is interesting they're in here.
Yeah, not quite Lake of the Woods. I bet there'll be more walleye fishing next year up around Bemidji than there was.
Oh, there's gonna be a lot of walleye fishing next year. Yeah. And some people are gonna be coming up to Lake of the Woods, like I mentioned. I can promise you that.
Well, it's fall. I know people are excited about the Shiner Run and the Rainy River, starting to think about ice fishing. It's kind of that transition time, isn't it?
It is transition time. You know, it's September, and you know, a lot of walleye is being caught. I just spoke to a resort owner just a few minutes ago, and he said, yeah, you know what, we went up north for our walleyes today. You know, and but up north, in the north part of the lake, it's been very, very consistent all summer long. It's interesting because we had a record-breaking high water year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the last time we had that, there's a lot of water pushing through the Rainy River, pushing through Lake of the Woods and pushing up. And, you know, we all kind of hypothesize what's going on. Well, you know, is that bait getting pushed up north? And are those walleyes falling? You know, there's different pods of fish, schools of fish along the south shore, but not as many fish in the basin as we normally see this time of year. How is that high water affecting it? How does that high current affecting it? Now, they've dropped the water levels in the Rainy River. The lake levels have come way down, so, you know, everything's getting back to normal, but how does that affect the fish? And it's going to be interesting to see with this fall. We got some walleyes that have entered the Rainy River. There's been a lot of good fishing happening in 4 Mile Bay. You know, they're there for 3-4 days, and then they scoot up the river, we think. So it's just going to be interesting to find out, you know, how does fall transpires, I guess. You know what I mean?
So if you're going up there this fall, are you jigging right away? Would you try to pull cranks? What would you do if you're heading up there this week?
I think what I would probably do is if I would go out in person. I might pull spinners. Pulling spinners is still a very viable technique, mm-hmm. but I'd try to pull spinners and find some fish. And then if I find some good pods of fish, I'd probably anchor up and jig on them. And if I'm fishing on the river, I'd probably start out jigging. If I'm struggling, I would definitely start pulling crankbaits. I'd pull crankbaits against the current, cover water. And you know, I know that the Minnesota Tournament Trail was just a Lake of the Woods for their championship. And I know some tournament anglers that pulled some cranks in the river just to, you know, check it out. And they did real well on either walleye, 17 and 19 inches.
Nice.
So there's a lot of walleyes in the river, a lot of bait in the river, a lot of shiners in the river. So it's all happening. And it's Mother Nature. You know, we can hypothesize all we want, but every year is a little bit different.
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready for the auction tonight. I know there's actually a couple of guns, I think, on the auction.
Well, there's guns. There's everything, man. There's guns. There's stuff for deer hunting. There's fishing stuff. There's, you know, I have a media company I work with that donated a media package in digital marketing and digital media. There's a whole myriad of stuff. And again, it's... Oh,
I think we donated a media package, actually.
Did you?
I forgot. So, yeah, they can go bid on some advertising on Sporting Journal Radio.
Oh, perfect.
There you go.
That's going to be a hot commodity. We just all know it, you know.
Yeah. So I'm going to bid on the guns, Joe. So just stay. Those are just stay out.
Well, I have
there.
To tell you a funny story. So one of the Lake of the Woods resorts, Riverbend Resort, is here, and a couple years back, Paul Johnson was bidding on a GPS sonar unit, and I was sitting in another part of the room. I didn't know that Paul was bidding on it. I was bidding on that same unit. So I think I pushed him up an extra few hundred bucks before he finally pulled the trigger. But we still laugh about it to this day, you know.
All right, Joe, if people want to plan a fall fishing or cast and blast hunting trip to Lake of the Woods or start thinking about ice fishing, what should they do?
You know what, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, the Aglow Conference continues down here in Branson, Missouri. We're on famous Table Rock Lake. Heard about this lake my whole life, never fished it before. Dan and I, neither one of us have been down here before to fish this lake or caught spotted bass, so that's one of our goals today is to catch spotted bass, maybe some largemouth, maybe some smallmouth. It's going to be pretty hot today. The water's calm. We're with Skeeter Yamaha Pro Pat Schlopper from Aliva, Wisconsin, so we're excited to get in this boat, try to find some fish. He's never fished this lake before, so we're going to pick his brain about breaking this lake down, hopefully put some fish in the boat.
Pat, where are you from?
I'm from Aliva, Wisconsin, so kind of this central western part of the state. Yeah, we don't have these kind of fish where we're from. But I love them. And, you know, a lot of people with spotted bass, they fish a lot like smallmouth, actually, just the way that they position and how aggressive they are. So a lot of smallmouth fishermen are naturally very good at spotted bass fishing, too. So, yeah, I love it.
What do you do?
I fish on the Bassmaster Elite Series for a living. It's my... Just got done with my second full season. I'll be there again in 2023, fishing the Bassmaster Classic for the second time in 2023. So, and beyond that, I also work at Shields All Sports in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I've worked there since 2004, full-time for a long time, and then now it's just part-time, very limited part-time because I'm on the road so much. So, yeah, I kind of get to live out my dream. So it's been awesome.
How was your season this year?
You know, it was pretty decent for my second year. I made the Bassmaster Classic again, which is, you know, that's kind of the main goal. Like that, I think you ask any of us fishing in the Elite Series, you know, what the goal is, most of them are going to say make the Classic. So I did that. I had some ups and downs. I had some really good tournaments, and then I had some, like, really bad ones. So kind of what I'm learning is... The bad one, like, it's really easy to fall in the standings very quickly, and it's really hard to climb back up. So, you know, I had some few top 20s, a top 10, got big fish in two tournaments, but then, you know, I had an 80th and an 83rd. So that takes your average down. So I ended up in 36th out of, you know, 95 people. Which roughly the top 43 go to the Classic. So I was well inside that. And for my second year, I would say it was a good year.
What got you interested in fishing?
I've always fished. I mean, like, our family, anybody that knows our family in the town I'm from, that's what we're known for is fishing. And just, you know, working hard, I guess. But grew up kind of pike and walleye fishing, bluegill fishing, like a lot of people in the area where I'm from. And then in seventh grade, I kind of got addicted to bass fishing, and I started tournament fishing in seventh grade. And I've always, that's kind of took over all of my fishing focus after that. And yeah, fished tournaments my whole life since seventh grade, and it's turned into a career now, so it's pretty awesome.
Where's probably the coolest place you've gotten to fish?
You know, I really like this year on this or this past season, Santee Cooper Lakes in South Carolina was really cool. Drop your bait right here.
Yep.
Giant fish, big water, just a whole different type of lake. But that's the cool thing about doing it is, you know, we get to fish all kinds of different places. And
yeah, it seems like they do a good job of changing up the schedules and sending you
they
different
do.
Places for the most part.
They do. They'll go to some places every year. Yep. And this year, actually, for 2023 or for next season, they went to several different places that we haven't been to for a long time. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, almost puts everyone back on a, not that it's not an even playing field, but.
Yeah, you know, there's always going to be someone that has a home field advantage.
Yeah.
And but that can hurt you. I mean, that hurt me in lacrosse. Mm-hmm. That's not always a good thing.
I feel like the pressure would be on. Because everyone would be like, oh, you're low.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then you don't. It's like, wow.
Exactly.
That sucks.
I felt so much pressure in that last one, and I had so many people down there. Like, you know, family and friends.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a factor. Where a lot of times you go to a new place and you're like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll find what I find and that's it. I think a lot of times when it's home water, you tend to overthink it.
Sure.
Like what I did, where you're just like, nope. I know 70% of the tournaments are won out of that area, but I'm not gonna even go there. Like, just stupid. Like if I didn't know. You know, and that's why, like, on the river in our tournament, Stoddard area, which probably doesn't mean anything to you if you haven't fished it, but that's, like, a big community area. Okay. But, like, half of the top 10 came from there.
Hmm.
And that's the type of stuff that I would have fished if I wasn't a local.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a local, but that I didn't have knowledge of that.
because all them guys that go out and they research it, like, oh, well, this area is known for this time of year winning tournaments. I'm going to go there. And then they figure it out, and then they do good.
Did you ever think you'd be fishing at the elite level?
You know, I always dreamt of it, and I felt like deep down I had the ability to do it, but it's just, there's so many factors that go into getting there. I mean, there's 90, well, there'll be 100 of us in the whole world that get to do it, so that kind of tells you how hard it is to get there and stay there. So it's always been a dream, but it was like one of those dreams that you know, I didn't know if it would ever happen, you know, because even if you're a really good fisherman, things have to line up to be able to get there. I mean, it's so hard. So I always dreamt of it, thought I could do it, but now, yeah, I get to do it, so it's awesome.
Is bass your favorite species to target, or is it one that you just thought would be fun to tournament fish for?
No, well, back then, you know, when I was in middle school, like I guess you could go walleye fish tournaments and musky fish, but it's just not, I was never interested in that. I mean, I musky fished and walleye fished a ton and loved it, but as far as the tournament aspect of it, bass generally, especially over walleye, it's a lot more active. Like, you're out, you're casting, you're not trolling around and dragging a line spinner and a bottom bouncer and putting planer boards out and having six rods, which obviously there's more walleye fishing than that, but a lot of tournament strategy involves that, and I like to do what we're doing right now. I like to hunt them down out here, make specific casts, get on groups of fish and catch them. It's just a lot, and there's so many more techniques involved with bass fishing overall. Like, I'm a tackle nerd. Like, I love to learn how to do different things and have a rod for a specific thing. It seems like overall a lot more innovation in the sport is involved in bass than walleye. I mean, there's obviously innovation in walleye, but you know, there might be two new walleye rigs that come out every 10 years, where bass, it's like every year, multiple times through the year, there's a little tweak that's made or something new that came out, or, you know, a different technology. And I love that stuff. Like, it's, and I like to stay on top of it. That was always been one of my advantages growing up and working at Shields, is I was typically one of the first ones on the front edge of something new, because A, I would know about it before a lot of people, and I would get access to it too before a lot of people. So that part of it I love, and I think bass fishing is just, you know, it's known for creating innovation and making changes to be a better angler. And yeah, I just love bass fishing.
Walk us through how we did here today and what you did to find fish.
So basically, never being here before and not having a ton of spotted bass experience, and there's largemouth and smallmouth in here too, but being from the north, when I can fish spotted bass, I'm going to try to fish them because they're fun. But I did a little bit of research, and just on some YouTube videos, and it sounded like 25 to 35 foot of water, long points, brush piles, isolated rock piles. And so that's basically what I did. Is, I mean, we've stopped on three or four spots, and every spot has had fish. And just, yeah, graphing all the electronics with the side imaging, finding the structure, finding the bait fish, put the troll motor down, scan with the live scope. And the majority of the time when we've caught them, like, I could see, like, okay, those fish are right. They're set up right on the rock or the brush, and usually we would catch them. There's a lot of fish around, but the trick now, and what we just have kind of figured out, is how to target the ones that we can catch. So, and we didn't go very far. I mean, we haven't put the boat on plane yet, and none of us know anything about this place. So there's obviously a lot of fish in here, and it's not super difficult to locate them, I guess. So we're getting them drop shotting, and it's a technique that, it's honestly, it's really simple, but there's some key components to it that will help you catch a lot more fish. The first thing, obviously, is the rod. You want to have the right rod. And there's some variance in that between brands. I use St. Croix. This is actually a drop shot rod. That's what they call it. It's a 6'10" medium light. Medium light power, extra fast action. So I like the extra fast because it'll have a soft tip on it, but when you set the hook, it'll load up really fast. And with this being a finesse presentation, a lot of the bites you get will be real light. You know, there'll just be a little bit of weight when you pick up. That's why I like that extra fast tip, so it's really sensitive and I can really feel that. But then when I set the hook, you know, it'll bury the hook really well. So the basic setup is going to be, what's different than a lot of other stuff is the weight is actually below the hook. So you'll tie your knot, which is usually a Palomar. I tie a Miller knot, which is a little bit different. So you'll tie your hook on, leave your tag end, don't cut it off, you know, like you would if you're tying a jig or anything else on. And then, you know, bury it anywhere from 10 inches to 3 foot, depending upon how far the fish are off the bottom, if the fish are feeding on the bottom, what type of forage they're using, how clear the water is. You just want to bury that length, generally 12 to 18 inches. But, you know, when that weight hits the bottom, then that worm, you know, if it's in the water, this is neutrally buoyant, it would sit flat and just wiggle above. So it's basically like fishing a weightless rig, but you can fish it out in deep water. So very efficient. Bait gets down there fast, and it's just something that catches a lot of fish, whether it's smallmouth, largemouth, spotted bass. It's really good for walleye too. Underutilized for walleye, but it's deadly for walleye. One of my favorite ways to catch them for sure.
So if you're going to keep fishing today, obviously our day is almost over. You got more guys you're going to take out this afternoon. But are you going to come back out and do the same thing, or are you going to try a different approach at all?
Nope, this is what I'm going to do, because this is what I like to do. And I mean, we haven't scratched the surface what could be around this area. I mean, even this flat that we got on, we could spend the rest of the day right here and not pick it all apart. So, yeah, I'll probably just stick in this area and fish around right here for a while, and then start skipping points again until I run across something else that I think has got fish. So,
well, I appreciate you taking us out today. Good luck with the tournament fishing. Good luck the rest of this afternoon, and thanks for being on the show with us.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it anytime.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Go to sportingjournalradio.com.